Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and we're going to look this morning at a glorious verse, a wonderful verse. I'm going to go ahead and read the last verse of the text this morning that we're going to look at. It's verse 37. It says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.'" How precious is that? How wonderful is that? Our Lord went into the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles, and he stood up and he preached. He taught the people. But the people didn't believe him. Can you imagine that? They didn't believe him. God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, stood up in front of men, sinners, and he told them the glorious truth of the gospel. And they didn't believe him. In verse 27, here in John chapter 7, it says, "Howbeit we know this man, whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." What they were saying was, we know this man. We know where he comes from. We know his parents. We remember when he was born. And they said, "We know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knows whence he is." No man knows where he comes from. What they were saying is, this man Jesus is not the Christ. We don't believe you. Verse 28 says, "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, 'You both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not.'" What he was actually saying was, you don't know me. You think you know me, but you don't. Oh, may that not be said about us. May that not be said about me. May that not be said about you. How many people are sitting in a congregation, sitting in a pew, thinking that they're worshiping God, when the actual reality is they don't know God at all? They don't know him at all. How horrifying would it be to get to the end of this life and go meet God, stand before God, the holy God, the judge of the earth, that every man and woman must stand in front of, and then find out, I didn't know God at all. I wasn't worshiping God at all. I did not know him. And the horrifying part would be to hear him say, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you." Be cast into outer darkness. How horrifying would that be? The end of verse 28, our Lord said, "Whom ye know not." He said, "You think I'm Jesus from Nazareth. I'm not. You think I'm from Galilee. I'm not. You think Joseph is my father. He's not. He's not. Verse 28 says, "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, You both know me, and you know whence I am, and I'm not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not." He said in verse 29, "But I know him." Do you know that's our hope? You know that? Our hope is built on that. Our Lord said in John 17, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee." That's eternal life. Knowing God is eternal life. But the Scripture says, "No man hath seen the Father at any time." So then what's my hope? What is my hope? My hope is that Christ knows him. And my hope is that I'm in Christ. That's my hope. Christ is my hope. It is that simple. Christ is my mediator. There's one mediator between God and man. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. My hope is that he knows him, and I'm in Christ. Verse 29, he said, "But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. Our Lord keeps telling us that in his word. He keeps reminding us of that. They wanted to take him, but no man could, because his hour was not yet come. Look at verse 44 right here in John 7. "Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him." They couldn't. They wanted to. They willed in their heart to, but they couldn't. Chapter 8, verse 20 says, "These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." Chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 39 says, "Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands." He just walked right out of their hands. No man can do what he will with God. People ask, "What will you do with Jesus?" Well, that's an irrelevant question. No man can do what he will with God. Man does not have a free will. They wanted to take him. They couldn't. You know why? They didn't have a free will. In spite of what man believes, man does not have a free will. We're going to do what we want with God? The very God? The only reason that they ultimately took him is because he allowed them to take him. The only reason they took him is because at that moment they were his puppets and they were doing his bidding, carrying out his will. Look right here in John chapter 10 at verse 17. Our Lord said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." A man who thinks he can do what he wants with Jesus does not fear God. And a man who does not fear God has much to fear. He has much to fear. Well, back over in John 7, verse 30 says, "Then sought they to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come." Verse 31 says, "And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, Will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? You know, that's religion. That's religion. Let me read this verse to you again. It says, many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, meaning he's not here yet, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? That is religion. Religion believes something. They do. They believe something. Don't tell a person who's caught up in religion, you don't believe anything. Oh, they believe something. They're very zealous over something. They've given their life to something. Verse 31 says, many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? That is the error of religion. This is what that is. It's missing Christ. It's missing Christ. They say, oh, we love Jesus. We love him so much. We love the Son of God. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God. We're so grateful that he died on the cross. We're so thankful for everything he did. We can't wait for him to introduce us to God. We thank him so much for pointing us in the direction of God. Do you know what that you call that? That's called unbelief. It sounded pretty good, didn't it? That's called unbelief. That's called missing Christ. That's a lost sinner that has missed Christ. Let me show you that. I want to prove that to you. Turn with me over to John chapter 20. John 20 and verse 26. Now listen to this. It says, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him. Now listen to Thomas's answer right here. Okay, the Lord told him, you be a believer. Verse 28 says, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Can you say that? Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and your God? Do you believe he is the God? The God. The highest God. Do you believe he's not just the man who can point you in the direction of God? He's not just the one who will introduce you to God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Do you believe that his throne, Christ's throne, oh God, is forever and ever? He is God. Jesus Christ is God. If a person wants to know who is God, I know we hear of this man Jesus. We hear how he came and what he did, and now he's gone, but who is God? If you want to know, Jesus Christ is God. He is the highest God, my Lord and my God. He and the Father are one, Father, Son, and Spirit. These three are one. One God, three persons. My Lord and my God. If a person can say that, you know what you can, according to the Word of God, call that person? A believer. A believer. Now go with me back over to John 7. John chapter 7, verse 32 says, "The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto him, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come." You cannot come. Our Lord just delivered to them the horrible truth. The horrible, horrible truth of sin and unbelief. The reality of sin and unbelief. He just told them about His death, about His burial, and His resurrection. And then He said, "Where I am, you cannot come. You cannot come." That is the worst news that a soul will ever hear. The worst news. How many souls are going to hear that on the day of judgment? How many souls? Our Lord said, when it comes to salvation, eternal life in Christ, He said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it." How many souls are going to hear that on the day of judgment? God be merciful to us, sinners. Lord, draw us to Yourself. Lord, let us be wherever You are. Let us be in Thy presence. Lord, let us be in Christ. Put us in Christ. Let us not be unbelieving. Lord, put saving faith in us, faith to believe on Him. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 says, our Lord says, "Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel." And have we not all done this? Every single person on the face of this earth, have we not set at naught all His counsel? We have not done His word. We have not done His will. He said, "You have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices." Oh man, is that not horrible? Because of unbelief. Where I am, you cannot come. Do you know, but for the grace of God, but for Christ, but for God sending Christ, that would be every single man and woman on the face of the earth, including you and me. That would be me. But for the grace of God, there go I. Unbelief, all because of unbelief. He said, "Where I am, you cannot come, but God." Those two words are our salvation, but God. Thank God for His election, the goodness of His election. It's the sweetest, most glorious truth a man could tell. God's election. But for God's atonement, but for Christ dying and shedding His blood, atoning the sins of all of the sinners that God the Father gave to Him. But for Christ, in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection, All that the Father put in him, they're called sheep. For all the sheep that God the Father gave to God the Son, what Christ is telling them back in John chapter 7 is, I'm about to go lay down my life for the sheep. That's what I'm about to do. All those who were not in him, this is what he had to say to them. Where I am, thither you cannot come. But for all those who are in him, he has something to say to them too. We just heard the truth about sin. Every bit of that was the truth about sin. The truth about rebellion. The truth about unbelief. The truth of being found outside of Christ. But now let's listen to the good news of salvation in Christ, okay? Go with me over to John 14. John 14, verse 1, our Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What good news is that? What good news is that? He just told those Pharisees who were trusting in their own works, he said, where I am, you cannot come. But in Christ, if God has chosen to put us in Christ, our Lord said, where I am, there you may be also. Turn over to John 17. John 17, verse 9. Our Lord said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And in verse 24, he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. What good news that is. Christ has purposed to have all of his people right there with him, where he is, in him, with him. Back over to John chapter 7, verse 35 says, Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we should not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. How blind they are. How blind. How deaf. No understanding. You know, that's all of us by nature. We just said, but for the grace of God, there go I. That's all of us by nature. Look at John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man. He plainly, clearly, simply told him the truth. But the natural man cannot see the things of the Spirit. Just cannot. Our Lord said, God is spirit. But man without the Holy Spirit of God, he takes the things of this word and he rationalizes them according to the flesh. Tries to figure them out in his mind. It's not a belief of the heart. He takes the things of the Spirit and he makes a fleshly work out of them. It's all he can do. Well, John 7, verse 37, it says, In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Oh, the mercy and grace of God, the goodness of God to sinners. He said, If. That's a big if. If, I can tell you this, If a man does, then it's God who caused him to. No man can come except the Father draw him. If any man, aren't you so glad that doesn't say, if good men, because the Scripture says there's none good but God. He said, if any man or woman, especially a man or woman who says, I'm unworthy, I'm too great a sinner, it's too late for me. No, it's not. No, it's not. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If any man thirst. You know, I thirst before I drink. You know that? Thirst is a desire. If any man desire righteousness, the righteousness of God, the perfection of God that's found in Christ. If any man desire peace, peace with God. If any man desire forgiveness from his sin, cleansing from his sin. If any man desire living bread, living water, satisfaction. If any man desires safety, if any man desires rest, our Lord said, let. That means allow it. Let him, let that sinful man come. Let him come. If any man does thirst, and if any man does come, it's because God the Spirit put that thirst in him, and God the Father drew him. And if God began the work, our Lord says, let him come unto me. Let him come unto me. Dear listener, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Don't go to the priest. Don't go to the church. Don't go to the altar. Don't come down front. Come to Christ. There's an old saying that says, come to Christ, but don't move a muscle. Don't move a muscle. You come to Christ in faith, believing that He's all you need. He's all you need for forgiveness, for satisfaction. He fulfilled the law for you because you couldn't. He's all you need. Come to Christ in heart, in mind, in soul, in spirit, in faith, but don't move a muscle. If any sinner does that, our Lord said in verse 37, he will drink, and he'll drink, and he'll drink. He can drink until his soul is satisfied. If any man thirst, let him come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His Word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.